Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
And so I want us just to close our eyes for a minute, because what we've got to understand, and what the church here in the West, in England, in Europe, in all over the West, what we've got to understand is that Christianity, a true walk with God, is more caught than it is taught. It's a spirit life. It's not an intellectual pursuit primarily. And so I want you to open your heart right now. I want you to talk to Father God. I want you to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to visit you and ask Him to speak to you. That's what I've been praying for you all week. And this is a really important time. We're going to give you some information, obviously. We're going to teach you some stuff. But what's most important is that we experience God's presence, that this person called the Holy Spirit comes very close to us, and that we understand the strong link between prayer and the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. God never intended for any person on this planet to live for one moment of the day without His presence, without His nearness, without that sense of His power, without an awareness of our angel protecting us. We are born of, as soon as you're a Christian, you're born of another world, the spirit world. This is a natural world, there's another world. Carrie shared, when we talked and prepared, you know, about in communion, about just touched on a couple of her experiences, because those experiences are, they're real things in a real world. And that world is the master world, the spirit world. And when we pray, we shouldn't just be talking from our head, we should be also talking from our heart. Sometimes people come to a place, especially in a service like this where God's presence is here, we've worshipped Him, we've honoured Him with our tithes and our offerings, we've sung praises to Him, and He likes that. And sometimes we come into a place like this and then our hunger is switched on, you know, and we start to think, I'd like to go forward in God. I'd like to know Him better. And sometimes we think that more information will help the most. But can I just be honest with you, with all our eyes closed here as we're just in conscious of Him, more information is mostly not what you need. What you really need is experience with God, yeah. Connection with the Holy Spirit. You can live in a place where every morning when you get up, you know that God is with you. You're not just hoping so. Yeah. You're not just confessing it. Well, God is with me, God is with me. You know it because you sense His presence. Yeah. You can walk into any appointment, into any room, onto any tube, go to any restaurant or cafe, meet any person with this presence of God with you. When I think about leading the church, doing meetings like this, preaching, teaching, leading a service, whatever. Ministering is a better word, which I suppose I've done for 30 years or more. The biggest thing in my heart, the thing I'm focused on the most is not the words I'm going to say. The biggest thing in my heart is that I'm representing somebody else called God. The only part of God that's on the planet is the Holy Spirit, and that He's got things He wants to do and say. And even as we're sitting here, some people are going to feel things on the inside of them. Some people are going to be feeling healing, warmth and heat flow through them. Some of them are going to start to think about things they haven't thought about for a long time. Because the Holy Spirit, if you will let Him, will start to draw your heart closer to Him. And that's really what every human person needs. We talk about missions, we talk about what God is doing, in China or South America or wherever, Korea, places that I suppose that are kind of noted for a particular move of God at this time. We think about those things. Sometimes what we don't realize is that it has nothing to do much with the information they're taught. It has to do with the positioning of their heart, their hunger for God, their yieldedness to God. Sometimes we want to move forward with God, which is a good thing. But until our hearts have yielded to Him on a point that He might be pressing on, we make little or no progress. There are some people here this morning, that's actually their situation. You just wish something would break through. You wish something would change. You're looking for it. You want it to happen. But sometimes there are areas that God's been speaking to you about and you just keep avoiding it. You'll get to it one day. And actually what opens the doors of heaven is a yielded heart. I'll just do whatever you want, God. I'll get that area of my life right. Such a powerful thing, because you come into fellowship then with the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about missions, like I mentioned, see, the only thing we're really trying to do is connect every person on the planet with a God who loves them, who knows them, and who wants to walk with them every day. Thank God for that. Let's take our seats. And we'll flip into, thank you very much, Alina, I appreciate that. We'll flip into the second set of slides, if we could, Gabby, please. Those ones, you've got them up already. And I just want to talk a little bit about this area of prayer and the Holy Spirit. Prayer is one of the single most important things that you can do to pray. It's just to communicate with God. That's all it is. But for most of us in the West, we're too preoccupied with everything else. And we don't make the time to be with God like we could. And it's just like, you know, some great Christian writer from the past said, you know, the Bible is like food for your Christian life. You feed on this. It's not just info for your head. It's food for your spirit. And prayer is like breathing. It's the breath of your life. Is that thing still on? Prayer is like breathing. And some Christian folks, bless their hearts. Let's help our lives. Let's help our Christian lives. Some of them are like, it's like we're, I'll just pop that off. Is that me or this? I don't know what it is, but anyway. There you go. Some of our Christian lives, we're like, we're choking. We don't have a lot of breath. And then we talk about getting to church. Oh, do I have to do that? And do I have to read the Bible? And what's happened is that the whole breath, we're barely breathing. And then we wonder why we don't feel like we have a lot of energy. But time with the presence of the Holy Spirit is absolutely life-changing. I've got a couple of quotes from some of the people that have, and this is probably most, I've got a couple of verses here. But let me tell you a couple of stories just about people that have been used by God and their experience in prayer, and particularly in the area of the Holy Spirit. One of them was an Englishman called Smith Wigglesworth. It's a funny name, isn't it? I remember when I first heard that in my 20s and I thought, what kind of a name is that? Smith Wigglesworth. Then I found out that the England rugby team has a guy called Wigglesworth. I don't know if he's related, but if you had a child, I'm not sure that I'd call it Smith or Wigglesworth, but there you go. But Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber who was born in 1859 in Yorkshire, and he was very poor, and really poor most of his life. But he was a man that loved God, and long story short, was part of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we had in Wales and we had in Azusa Street in America, which traveled around the world, which really completely changed the Christian world. It was an outpouring, a particular move of the Spirit, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where healing and where the gift of praying in other languages or praying in tongues was poured out everywhere. Wigglesworth was actually, I actually have a letter in my home framed. I was going to bring it, but I don't have it on the wall right now. I couldn't find it. I didn't have the time. But I've got a framed letter, photocopy of the letter, not the original letter, from the pastor of the church in Sunderland. His name was Alexander Boddy. It's another funny name. And he pastored All Saints in Monk Wearmouth, I think it's called. And he writes a letter to a guy in Norway who had been the guy who'd been to California where this outpouring had taken place in Los Angeles called Azusa Street. And he, amongst many others, had travelled the world and caught something and carried something and then prayed for others, and this gift had gone all around the world. And the person that had prayed for Alexander Boddy and his wife was this Norwegian. And so Alexander Boddy writes this letter, and it says, "We had a significant worker baptized today. Mrs. Boddy prayed for him." If you read Smith Wigglesworth's account, he'll say that he knew. He was born in 1859, so he was 48 years old. Everyone say 48. 48. So never too late. 48 years old. He'd loved God since he was a young man. He'd been nervous and shy. He had given his money to the poor. He had married a good Salvation Army girl who was much bolder than him. And he had been hungry for the things of God. And he'd done everything he could. They set up a little kind of mini church situation, a chapel, a mission, I think they called it. But he was so hungry for the things of God. And he'd heard about this outpouring. And so he went to Sunderland to see what this was all about. And they prayed for him several days, and nothing had happened. And it was the last day he was there, and the pastor's wife, Mrs. Boddy, had said, "I'll pray for you." And they were in the office there, and he laid hands, and he received the gift of praying in other tongues or praying in other languages, which goes hand in hand with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there are always some people that like to argue about the technical details of that. But I would say this, that the Bible record will show that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is different to salvation, that the gift that always accompanies that is praying in other tongues or praying in other languages. In the early Pentecostal church in the 1920s and 30s, the Assemblies of God was the first major denomination, and some people joined and some people left on the premise of whether it was absolute proof and absolute, you know, and people have quibbled about it forever. But the point is this, God likes everybody to pray in other tongues. I've got a Bible verse for you coming in a minute. He likes everybody to pray in tongues. And if it's going to help you, why not jump in?
Yeah.
Why quibble about whether it should or shouldn't? Just get everything God's got going. Are you with me?
Yeah.
If the bank is handing out 100-pound notes, if the manager says, you know, just your lucky day, baby, here we are, I've got 1,000 of them, I'm going to the front of the line, back around, as mean, aren't you? I'm not going to quibble about, you know, who's this manager and who did he, you know, I'm going to get what I can get. Aren't you? Well, of course, if it looked illegal, I wouldn't do it. But that's, you know. But, you know, you get my point. Don't get everything God's got going for you. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues is a life-changing experience. So Wigglesworth got that. 48. Never done any miracles. Mr. Smith Wigglesworth at 48, always been shy, always had preached, but never with any great blast. It was his wife that was the strong one. And Wigglesworth came home, they lived in Bradford, and came home, and his wife looked at him and said, "What happened to my Smith?" Because power had got a hold of him. He'd prayed in the Spirit, and now he would speak very boldly. And in the ensuing years, so he started at 48, he died at 87 years of age in 1947. And in those ensuing years, he travelled the world, every one of the five major continents. He had revival. He had a phenomenal move of God in every place. He is today still one of the most respected spirit-filled Christian leaders of the centuries. We have record, he had at least 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry. That's 23 more than me. And if you read any of the books about him, which won't hurt you, he would hold them up against the wall and just command life in his bold Yorkshire accent. 23 people raised from the dead. There's many, many stories that I could tell you about him. He would go out into a meeting in the evening. Oftentimes, in the meeting like this, he'd say, "Who's the sickest person in the house?" And because he was famous for one of the many things that happened in his life was that people got healed, somebody very sick would come and he'd say, "Let's have them out first." His faith was large, his boldness was large, the presence of God upon him was large. He used to say this, "I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." Most Christians are 1,000 times bigger on the outside. That was a joke. But he knew it, you know what I mean? He was big on the inside. And so the sickest person you get, if you had any kind of stomach ailment and things like appendicitis and that, common way he would minister is he'd just punch you. Because he got punched. When he was almost dead of appendicitis and he'd only just been filled with the Spirit, and some Pentecostal woman came, early 1900s, came over to him and punched him in the stomach, and he was healed. So that was the method he used. But he had all kinds of phenomenal results. I could tell you story after story, but one of them was a person that had lost his feet. He had no feet, he only had stumps, couldn't walk. And he came to Wigglesworth. He said, "Can you do anything about this?" He said, "I can't do anything. My God, nothing's impossible with God." That was one of his phrases. Nothing's impossible with God. And so he said, "What size shoes do you want?" And the guy, of course, had never thought about that because Wigglesworth was in a faith zone. This is what God does. Most of us are never in a faith zone much. I want to try and help you get there because that's what changes things. And we'll push that button real hard next week. And he said, "What's so?" So he had to think about it. He had to make a decision. Now, I don't know what size shoes he got, but he got some shoes, put his stump in the shoe, Wigglesworth lays hand on him, and a foot grew into the shoe and on the other foot. And there are endless and endless stories. There's about, I don't know, I've got about a dozen books on his life. Many, many books you can like. And you would ask yourself, as people did, "Well, how did you do that? What was your secret?" And you know what Wigglesworth would say his secret was? You want to know? He said, "Every afternoon, I go into the privacy of my bedroom and I pray in the Spirit for 2 hours. I pray in tongues for 2 hours and I build myself up. And then I go out in the evening and build up the people." That's what he said. And I'll show you a verse. I've got so many stories, but that was what he said. Yongyi Cho pastors the world's largest church, about 750,000 people. I've told you about him before. He's written a book called Prayer, Key to Revival. I'm going through that again as we really focus on prayer right now. One of the things that he said, and he is the international chairman of Church Growth International. He's one of the most respected church leaders. These are not people that just have opinions. The internet is full of people that have opinions. Most of them I avoid. Just in case you're wondering, some of you that are hungry, you get out there and say, "What does someone else say?" Most of it's rubbish out there. Don't listen to people unless their life has a known reputation. That's what I always judge. I could care less what anyone thinks. There are hundreds of opinions out there. Most of them are idiots. Most of them are after your money. Am I being too blunt? Most of them are not people awesomely walking with God, but there are some. And you've got to use your discernment or you'll end up. That's why one of the reasons why the local church is so important. You cannot grow as a Christian feeding on God TV. You've got to be in a community. You've got Joyce Meyer is not your pastor. Neither is T.D. Jake. She doesn't know you. And quite frankly, if she didn't know you, you wouldn't like her after. If she did know you, you wouldn't like her after 5 minutes because she's blunter than I am. And she'll just tell you, "Stop doing that. You're quibbling about your husband, get submitted." Just do, that's what, and she'll tell you the whole story. She's got series and books on it. We pick, see, the great thing with TV is you can pick the little bits out you like, but it's not relationship. You need relationship. You need to be in a church. You need to flow with other people. And Cho says, every principle I teach all around the world, and he's been in Bible college, he did theological training, didn't help him that much in his opinion, and he failed anyway. But he said, every principle I've learned, everything I teach everywhere does not come out of theological college. Everything came out of my personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God speaks to him. But he pays a very real price for that. He says, the hardest thing in my life is to pray. And he has all his life prayed about 3 hours a day. And if he goes to Japan, which is much, for him, much more difficult, there's much less. Heaven is, in his vernacular would be, heaven is harder. It's more open. He's got to pray for 5 hours before he preaches in Japan, because it shifts the atmosphere. See, we mostly don't know about that because we mostly can't get past about 5 minutes because the phone rang or something was on TV. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying that the Western Church is going to have to change if we're going to see something happen. And that's why we're dedicating September to prayer, because I am completely committed to something happening. I came here, I gave my life to come here, and we have got 35,000 people within a mile of here that need to know Jesus. And that's what we're here for, folks. So get ready. Everyone say, get ready. Get ready, get full of God, get excited. This church is going to be the most wonderful place. It's the most fabulous place. But you're going to be equipped and trained. It's not about how many people are seated. It's about how many people are sent every week bringing something to somebody else. So Cho says that. John G. Lake, I'm going to have to close in just a few minutes. Are you enjoying this so far? John G. Lake. He was a man that also received this baptism of the Holy Spirit in about 1907, 1908. In America, and he had already seen some miraculous healings, but he'd never received this gift of the Holy Spirit. And he was extremely wealthy. He was a very successful businessman, sat on the Chicago Board of Trade, and in his first year in that particular area, which was the 1890s, he'd made $100,000 in 1 year and then had another $50,000 paid up in insurance. He was very wealthy. When God called him to serve him in the ministry, he gave the lot away. That was just because he felt like he, you know, that didn't have a hold on him. I told you that Cho paid an awful price. You know, he says, the thing with my prayer life is I preach, I meet other ministers. And legitimately, you know, after a meeting, they'll all go out, they'll have something to drink and eat together. He said, I can almost never do that, even though I'd love to do it, because I have to give myself to prayer. And what some of us don't want to do, but we need to realize, is that you can't have your cake and eat it. It's probably an English phrase. You can't have... do everything you want to do in your natural person and then have the awesome presence of God on your life as well. You have to sacrifice something somewhere. And Lake would say this. So he was a person that went to South Africa and for there for 5 years with no money, which God supernaturally provided. There are many stories I could tell you, but he has a reputation as one of the most Christ-like kind of ministers, I suppose. Andrew Murray said that about him. And his healings were phenomenal. He talks, I love reading his books. It's another good person worth reading, John G. Lake. I've got about 10 of them. Carrie and I were reading them together and encouraging one another. He talks about the tangibility of the power of God, that it's just like electricity, that you feel when it's on you. And so he would do scientific tests and he'd say, look, put your electricity meter on my arm. And then when he'd begin to pray in the spirit or worship, the meter would go up zzz, right off the end of the scale, off the Richter, as they say in Australia. And he I mean, there's lots of stories, but one of the most impressive ones is the woman that had a growth that looked like a baby, but it got bigger than a baby. It ended up being 32 pounds. So a big baby is 8 pounds. So that's four big babies. She was 5 feet in the girth, and it had hair, nails, teeth. It was a gross growth. But he understood how the power of God worked. So he laid hands on her, commanded the thing to shrivel, and you hear all this crackling and popping. 2 minutes later, it's completely gone. Dematerialized, not there anymore. And his life is full of those stories. And when people ask him, how did you do that? When he came back from South Africa, he went to Spokane in Washington, which is the north near Seattle up there, and established healing rooms as well as a church that he had there. And the healing rooms, and in those healing rooms, he had a team of guys that would minister the power of God to people. And they had 100,000, everyone say 100,000, people healed, medically certified. Doctor signed off, we can't explain this. 100,000 in 5 years. So if you do your maths, it's about between 60 and 70 people every day. They reckon they ministered to about 200 a day. So not everybody got healed. But about 60 or 70 more than most of us, yeah? Now that was 100 years ago. God is still alive. He's still the same. He's still doing the same thing. But John G. Lake, how did that happen? How did you do that? You know what John G. Lake said? He said, praying in tongues has been the making of my ministry. That's a big statement. Praying in tongues. We should get away from the idea that praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit is just a fun little thing we do for 5 minutes or it's some for others. Kenneth Hagin said it this way. He said, we've had very limited success in the Christian church because we've done an awful lot of one kind of praying, praying with your head. Praying with your head is good. It's just that your spirit knows things your head doesn't know. You have a spirit as well. And when you pray in tongues, you're praying in another language, it's your spirit praying, not your head praying. That's why you can't get it. And that's why the first thing the devil will do when you pray in the spirit is say to you, you're probably making that up. Which is exactly what the devil said to John G. Lake 100 years ago. You're probably making that up. Exactly the same. No new trick. He'll try and convince you. But if you can pray in the spirit, you start to enter into a different world. Let me just take you through these quickly and then we're going to close. Here's just a couple of biblical things to help you. Everyone present, this is Acts 2 verse 4, it's the beginning of the church. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. That's the foundational scripture, really, of the Spirit-filled or Pentecostal church and all that stuff. But when the Holy Spirit filled them, they began speaking. Let me explain to you the difference between being born again and being filled with the Spirit, because they're both the operation of the Holy Spirit. And historically, sometimes Spirit-filled people have been a little bit arrogant, suggesting that they've got the Holy Spirit and other people don't. But that's not true. The word filled here is a word that means imbued, like you would soak, like this jacket was whatever color it was initially, but they soaked it in yellow. And so it becomes entirely yellow. That's what that word filled means. So one of the best illustrations I've heard is that it's like having a fire in a house. When you're born again, you've got a fire inside of your house. And you know it's there and it warms you and it's for real. Being filled with the Spirit is like the whole house is on fire. That's the difference. It's still fire. It's the same fire. It's not a different fire. But it's consuming rather than just burning within. And the difference is in the expression and boldness of your faith. Just like a house that's on fire is seen more of an impact. Still the same. Doesn't mean that people that are born again of the Holy Spirit have a fire. Doesn't mean that they're any less saved than the person that's filled. But God desires that every one of us would be filled. Are you with me? And Jesus, in every one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of them, they say, John the Baptist makes reference to him and says, now he's the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. All the time. Never anywhere is that suggested that it's the same thing as being born again. It's important to understand that. Here we go. We'll leave that one because it's a bit long, but it's good. Here's how the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. Just a couple of quick verses about praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. You ever been there? I reckon I spent about 70% of my praying life in praying in the Spirit because about 70% of the time I'm not really exactly sure what God wants me to pray for. But when I pray in the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. The better Greek there is in regular speech. Can't be expressed in normal speech. The Father knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. So the Holy Spirit prays for us. Now, I know one lady that misunderstood that. I know of her. I didn't know her. And she thought that that meant that the Holy Spirit does praying outside of me. So she just said, well, once I learned that the Holy Spirit was praying for me, then I stopped praying. I don't need to pray. But that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's a helper. Remember that? He's the comforter, the paraclete, the Greek word, he's a helper. Everyone say he's helper. And just like if you're doing a job and you're rewiring the house and you have a helper, the helper will help you do the job, but the helper is not responsible for the job. The helper helps. The Holy Spirit will help you, but he's not responsible. You're responsible for praying, but the Holy Spirit will help you pray. And that's talking about praying in the Spirit, groanings that come out. And some of us have never groaned, have never got to that place where something is burning within, out of us. But that's when things change, ladies and gentlemen. Because what you're birthing on the inside will come out of the outside. Some of you are dealing with illnesses, sicknesses that you can't seem to shift, oppression that you've just learnt to live with, questions in your life, maybe about your kids or your family, and you're just thinking, what's the answer? God's got an answer. Now, I'm not a fan of disregarding all social and, you know, medical wisdom. I think there's importance there. But there are some things that are spiritually rooted and a medical answer. We've had that so many times in our lives, and people, and you may know people like that. They've got something wrong, it keeps going wrong, they go to the doctors, nobody can find anything. Because sometimes it's got a spiritual root. And you've got to get into that spiritual world, and sometimes you've got to be like that Luke 18 woman. Remember the Luke 18 woman, and the widow with the judge? And the judge wouldn't give her anything for a while, and then eventually you'd, because she just wouldn't quit. Some of us have got to be like that in the realm of the Spirit for the things to shift that you want to see shifted. Good preaching right there. That's a good word. So, but notice that in, for the Spirit pleads for us, last chapter, in harmony with God's own will. So when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit through you is praying for you. In harmony with God's will. That's one of the great things about praying in the Spirit, is that you're always praying in God's will. Sometimes when you pray in English, you're not praying in God's will. Sometimes you're praying, oh God, give me that man. I want to marry that man. I just really, and that ain't God's will. And if you thump at it long enough, sometimes God will give you what isn't his will, because that's just the way God is. Some people say, well, if it happened, it's God's will. That's baloney. Lots of things happen that aren't God's will. People die every day out of sickness and pain and cancer. That's not God's will. That's not God's best. But you can see in the you can see lots of principles in the Bible where if people will persist for something, because God really likes you, and if you'll persist for something and hammer him for something hard enough, he'll oftentimes yield to it, even though it actually isn't his best. You'll get your best, God's best, by yielding your heart to him. And one of the best ways you can do that is pray in the Spirit. There's many other things we could say. I want you to see one line that is important, though, just to help some of us. See in the last line there, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. See that? So Paul's writing that. He's writing it in the context of a church meeting. So he says to them, listen, you guys, these guys were going crazy praying in tongues. He says, when you're in the church, if you're going to pray in tongues, at least interpret it. It helps other people. But in the midst of that conversation, he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So it's impossible for any Christian person to say, well, it isn't the will of God for me to pray in tongues. If it wasn't, then why would Paul be wishing that you did? Hello? Helping you? Shall we close today? We've got a little bit of music. Oh, I've enjoyed being in church today. I preached myself happy. Come on, let's stand up. We're going to close, have coffee. Father, thank you. I want you to take maybe 1 minute, and if you don't pray in the Spirit, if you do pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, it's the same thing, then let's do that now, just for 1 minute. Shata labra sudulumba. Now, if you've never received that gift, it's free, it's no charge, and it's available. And the single biggest key to receive it is to be hungry and say, God, that's what I want. And if that's you, then just come out here, and we're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive that gift right away. and that will help your life enormously. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn up our music just a tiny bit. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today. We thank you today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the things that you've done through so many different people. And now it's our hour. It's our time, Father. Catherine Coleman isn't here and John Lake isn't here, but we are here, Lord. And you're going to use us in the same way that you used others, because you don't favor any person. And I release your favor and your anointing and your grace and your blessing on every person here. And I pray this gift of praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit would flourish in every life in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for Amy. Amen. Lord, touch her life. Touch her life and thank you for what you're doing in her world, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit, draw these people nearer to you. Thank you for the way you're touching Carmen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless these lives, Father, filled fuller and fuller and fuller of your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for Bridget. Oh, God, pour out your Spirit. Pour out, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless these people. Bless them. Oh, wonderful Holy Spirit. Bless them with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More and more of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, everyone say, God is good. I love it. See, that's when the meeting gets excited. I could have a meeting now. I mean, we could have a meeting now. Are you with me? That presence, that anointing, that's when things shift. And us together, you know, I took a little while to preach and teach to get us to a place of agreement. But if we can carry that agreement like that in our hearts and spirit and pray in the Spirit, you'll see far greater things happen on Sundays. You'll see far greater things happen in your life. So thank you for being here. Thank you for flowing. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget that we have Greater Life on Thursdays. And we're going to worship God. We're going to pray, but we're also lay hands on people and we'll have the gifts of the Holy Spirit there. Everyone is welcome. And then next Sunday, we're going to move forward again as we absolutely keep the devil under our feet and release 35,000 people in our immediate area into God's presence. What do you say? Will you give Jesus a cheer today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's been great to have you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you. God bless you.